Hello, rock stars. I'm your host, Carrie Price. Welcome to the High Vibe Mama podcast. I am so thrilled to be discussing all things health, wellness, lifestyle, motherhood, and more. Ready to get vibed?
Welcome, everybody. This is Survivors Share. Thanks for stopping by. This is our friend Carrie Price, and she is joining us tonight from Idaho. And we're so grateful that everybody's coming by and watching our series about how to help support people through different parts of their grief journey. And so Carrie, she is a good friend of mine that I met a few years ago in Las Vegas at a convention, a retreat. Yeah. And it was awesome. She is a holistic health coach, and she is an amazing fitness instructor. And I was able to participate in some of her classes. They are so fun. She is so talented, and she just, as you'll see, has this energy that you just want to be a part of. So anyway, thank you so much, Carrie, for joining us. Yeah. Carrie has a story to share with us tonight. She's a mom of five, and her husband is a chiropractor. And so together, they do things, amazing things together. And during her life's journey, she's had a lot of experience with her family with addiction, and she has a twin brother that she'll talk about. And anyway, her story is inspiring, and we're grateful for her. And yeah, so Carrie, do you want to tell us a little bit about your story and how you've gone through your grief journey?
Yes. Thank you so much. And I love what you guys are doing here at Survivors. I think this is what people need. You know, I know there's so many times I felt so alone. And I always say that a grieving heart understands another grieving heart. And until you've kind of walked the path of grief, you don't really understand a grieving heart. And so it's a great community that you have built here. And so I'm so grateful to be a part of it and to share with you. So, my story is very long and has lots of layers, but since we only have a short time, I will tell you in a very small nutshell. I grew up in addiction. Both my parents were addicts. Later, I was living with my grandparents, and there was a lot of back and forth with living with my grandparents and then living with my mom. And then there's the whole nother story of my dad wasn't in my life, and then he was, and there's lots of layers when it comes to growing up in addiction. But I lived the majority of my life with my grandparents. But there was a small part of my life where it was really much in addiction, and a lot of terrible things happened. And I witnessed lots of really hard things, went through lots of hard things that, you know, people would say a child shouldn't have to go through. But around 6 or 7 is when I was fully with our grandparents, and I did live a really amazing life, and I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for my grandparents, because they were truly just angels here on earth for our family to be raised by them. So I ended up losing my mom when I was in high school to overdose, and then I lost my dad, I believe when I was 25, to addiction related things. And we actually weren't speaking at the time of his death. And like I said, that's a whole nother story. And then it's interesting what grief does, is because I realized that I didn't process my mom's death how I should have. And then my dad's death was different because we weren't speaking, we weren't very close. And then almost 3 years ago now, my twin brother passed away of overdose. And so you see how we have this big long line of addiction in our family. And long story short with him, basically he had a back injury and he was placed on prescription opioids, and basically became an addict very quickly. And he'd suffered with that for about 3.5 or 4 years. And it finally ended up taking his life. And, you know, addiction has taught me in a weird kind of crazy way what true love is. Because watching someone suffer from addiction is so hard. And I think there's a lot of stigma behind it where people want to blame the addict. But my brother did not want to live this life. But he was physically addicted and emotionally addicted to this prescription drug. It was a legal drug. You know, they make them so strong. And so, yeah, it ended up taking his life. He died 2 days before Christmas, but we didn't find out until about 3 days after Christmas that he was gone. And when he died, we were twins and we were so close. I loved him so much. I still love him. When he died, I was in so much shock because I couldn't believe it. I always knew when something was wrong with him. I always knew when, and I didn't know anything. And so it put me into a state of, I know they say the first stage of grief is shock, but I was almost overly shocked, very stunned, felt extremely numb. And I think it was what happened was it all the trauma from growing up in addiction, the trauma from losing my mom, that it all kind of came back and encompassed me. And these are things that I thought that I had healed. And I will tell you that grief exposes you. It teaches you the things that need to be truly healed in your heart. And I had to heal my trauma because that's what it made me realize when my brother passed away. And it became really hard. I was a mom. My youngest was 7 months. I had 2 in diapers. And I remember asking God all the time, like, why now? Like, I can't do this right now. I can't heal my trauma. I can't grieve. I've got to take care of these kids. And, you know, I'm pretty sure you realize too that when you have to emotionally be there for so many other people, but you're not even emotionally there for yourself, you know, you're on this, like, I call it this grief kind of drunken brain that you're working on and that you're working with, and it doesn't really function that well anymore. That's kind of where I was. And so, you know, it brought up so many things, and I was so heartbroken. I don't know if you guys know this, but broken heart syndrome is actually a syndrome. It like actually sends signals to your body that like something's wrong with your heart, like your heart can be stunned. And I wasn't diagnosed or anything, but my body felt funny. For a long time, you know, my body temperature dropped significantly. I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep. And I know maybe most grievers is like nighttime is the worst. Like I'd be afraid to go to sleep because I'm like, oh, now it's night and now it's quiet, right? And all the feelings come in, and it was just it was devastating. It was devastating for our whole family, especially me. And I still, you know, it was an identity thing for me as well, because we were twins and it's like, we're do life together. And this is how it's always going to be. And I feel like, you know, life can change so quickly, very quickly. And I feel like that's what grief has kind of taught me too, is that I'm not in control of a lot of things. I'm in control of certain things like my health and the way that I react and things. But as far as birth and death, we're not in control. And, you know, my motto is transitions in life are inevitable and transforming is up to us. And I feel like in grief, we kind of ask ourselves maybe the wrong questions. I know a lot of times it's like, why did this happen? And I was there too for a long time, or how could this happen right now? And I couldn't believe that it happened again, you know, because I couldn't believe that I was bearing another family member to addiction, you know, and a lot of it came with like shame and guilt because of thinking like, oh, is there something that I could have done better? And, you know, and you go through this circle. And the thing is I feel like when we're grieving, when we're ready, we can start to ask ourselves different questions. Like, how do I want to feel? Do I want to feel better? And if so, what are the types of things that I need to do to feel better? And if it's to feel more love, or with me, it's I work with a lot of people in taking care of their health, because when hardship happens, that's the first thing to go is your health, your mental health, your physical health. And so that's really what I focus on, is helping especially women tap back into their health, because if you feel good physically, it's more easier to handle stuff emotionally and vice versa, right? And I teach that the physical body also belongs to the emotional body, and the emotional body belongs to the physical body. And so if we can work on some of those things, then we start to heal. And it's a process, it takes time. I'm still healing, I'm still growing and evolving. And I think a lot of people think healing is linear. I think I talked about this on my podcast. It's just not. It's kind of like you're on this roller coaster ride for the rest of your life. Also, it's kind of like the ocean, where sometimes it's really calm and you're on top and you're floating and it feels so nice. And there's tender mercies and there's things that you learn about yourself and unbecome. And there's so many beautiful things. But then there's other times where the waves just come and they're crashing and you're drowning and you're trying to hold this SOS sign, trying to tell people like, I need help. I'm hurting. I'm heartbroken. I'm obliterated. I'm numb. But grief is invisible. No one can see it, you know? And it's interesting now that I've been talking about it more, a lot of people are like, I had no idea, Carrie. I had no idea that you're struggling that bad. I had no idea that you're hurting so bad. And I said, yeah, because it was all in here. You know, we can put our makeup on and do our hair and people can see our nice house and, oh, you do this. And, you know, they don't see what's going on the inside when you're grieving, because I always tell people it's kind of like the invisible emotional disease. And all of us have experienced some type of grief, right? And whether it be, I mean, this whole year, right? Or year and a half now, almost two, to so much loss in the energy of what's happening right now. And I feel like I never growing up gave myself permission to grieve how I should have. And so that all came back to me. And yeah, it was just so difficult. And I honestly sometimes don't even know how to explain the different feelings that I was feeling. And I'm sure you can relate that you become speechless almost, because the feelings are so heavy that you cannot even talk. And I'm in a better place now where I feel like I can speak and help others and tell my story. But even a year ago, I wouldn't have probably said yes to speaking at this, because I just wasn't ready. And I think you have to give yourself the time to be ready to talk about it and to tell people your grief journey and your story and, you know, your suffering, because I think that's a part of a lot of it too, is asking ourselves, there is a suffering stage in grief, but do we want to stay suffering? And asking ourselves, you know, does my loved one want me to still suffer? You know?
Yes.
And I know that my brother doesn't. I know that my mom doesn't. I know that all of these people in heaven that I love don't. And what I've realized too is, so I don't know, you probably don't know this, but the man that raised me, my papa, my grandparents, he died 18 months after my twin did. And his death was different, right? Because he was older. And I just feel like there's so many different dynamics when it comes to grief, whether who it is and this connection that you have with them. And that's why I think I just did a post about being worthy of grief, is like, no one gets to tell you how long you can grieve, who it's for. No one gets to like take it away from you what you need to grieve in order to heal. And I think that's really important to understand. And I feel like we play a lot of this grief game where we're like, oh, this person had it way worse than me. Or we say, oh, look at what happened to this person. I'm not worthy of grief. And I think we have to not do that to ourselves, because all of us, a person that is loved, that is lost, is worth grieving, you know? And my twin was such a tremendous loss for me. And I took it so much more harder than any of the other deaths that I experienced, mainly because trauma came back. But it also, like I said, has been like this beautiful journey where I've had so many beautiful things that have happened because, and I know you even hate saying it because it's not like you're forgetting them, but a lot of beautiful things have come from my brother's death. Even me learning about myself and who I am and unbecoming and making my old self die over and over again so I can become what God wants me to be. And your life is a celebration of their life now. That's always what I have to remind myself of. And it's kind of like Elsa, or wait, what's her name? What's Elsa's sister's name?
Oh my goodness. Anna. Oh, okay, yeah.
Anna, you know, when her sister passes away, she was just like, I just have to get up and I have to just take that one step. And then you step again and then you step again. And that's what we have to keep reminding ourselves, that it's constant, our stepping stones. And sometimes we miss the step, right? And we land in the water or we land in the pit. But then we have to crawl out. And I kind of think of it like a baby, is we have to first learn to crawl or sit up, then we crawl, and then we walk. It's kind of the same in your grief journey too, is like sometimes you're like crawling. Sometimes you're like literally have your nails and you're just like, okay, here I come. Like I'm still, at least I'm moving, right? So that's really what I love to teach people, is about movement. And I don't know if you want me to go into this part. I feel like I've been talking forever.
No, that's perfect. Yeah. Tell me about the movement part of it, how that actually is a very empowering thing that people can do for when they grieve.
Yeah, I think, and you can even kind of look this up, is movement therapy is actually, they say, is more powerful than counseling or journaling. Because we can speak all we want and we can write all we want, but grief and energy and emotions are stuck in our bodies. And the only way to move them is actually move through them. And so I love teaching people how to move their bodies in authentic ways. I teach a holistic framework, basically teaching people in power to feel resilience, feel powerful in their bodies. Through strength classes. And then I also teach energy. So we want to feel energy and feel happy and endorphins through cardio. And then we have to have balance through like barre or yoga and feel ease and tranquility. And our body actually wants all three of them. In our modern society, we feel like we just have to like go, go, go and push, push, push. And that's not how to keep your body in homeostasis, especially if you have experienced tons of hardship, because we store so much emotions in our bodies and all of us store them differently. Some of us, for me, I store it in the back of my neck and shoulders, but for many people, they store it in their lungs or their tummy. And so if we can learn to move our bodies authentically, because really essentially it's just energy, right? And we need this energy to move up and out and put our bodies in motion. And it doesn't have to be vigorous. It doesn't have to be, you know, these, I don't know. I think people complicate it too much. Moving our bodies is natural. It comes natural and innate. And actually, primarily, people say the reason why even our ancestors didn't struggle so much with depression and emotional drought, quote unquote, is because they were constantly in motion. They were constantly working. moving their bodies. They were walking places. They were in outside a lot. You know, they were not quote unquote exercising, but they were in motion. They were moving their bodies. And now in our modern day, we do have exercise. And I just feel like it's such an easy way to help heal yourself, heal your body, get your body moving. So you actually, I don't know, can move this stuff that's stuck. And I know that we feel it. Like I feel all the time where it's like, I always ask myself, where am I feeling that grief today? And it's like, okay, where do I need to move my body to help myself heal? And so that's really what I love to teach. And obviously through, I teach about nutrition and I teach about, you know, self-care and all of those things. It's all encompassing. And I think it can get overwhelming, especially if we're grieving, where we, you know, for me, I had to meet all the needs of my kids. So how was I going to do the work that I needed to do to help myself heal? But I know that if I didn't put forth a little bit of effort every single day, that literally how they say broken heart syndrome can kill you. Grief, if we let it, it can literally kill us, or it can put us in a state of so much dysfunction that it brings disease into our body. And I know none of our loved ones want that. You know, I've had a couple of dreams about my brother coming to me.
Oh, cool.
And he used to say the F word a lot, but I won't say it on this. But, you know, he just told me to get my act together, you know, that he doesn't want me sulking. And he knows, like, how much life is different for me or how I feel different. But, you know, that's how, not that how it was supposed to be, because I hate that everything happens for a reason. I hate that. But that even though that he's gone, that he lives in me now. And so that this is a way for us to go forward together. And I want to share, is it okay if I share a quick story? I don't know how.
Sure. We're good. Just keep going. You're good.
Oh, okay. So when my brother died and, you know, we found out that it was to overdose. And I mean, there was a scene and police report, and it was not fun. I'll just say that. And I'm all about fun. I love fun. And so when things aren't fun, I don't like them. And grief isn't that fun, right? Or death, or reading very obscene and things that happened. So where was I going with this? Yes. So with addiction, I couldn't believe that I was here again. I was literally in so much shock that I was having to do this all over again. And, you know, what was this cycle thing that I needed to break of addiction? And a lot of times I would ask myself over and over, like, and even when my brother was in the pit and he would call me and we were talking about, like, how, you know, he would call it the demon. That's what he'd call it. He'd say, the demon will not leave. And we would work together. And sometimes I'd pray and I just ask God to give me the demon. Let me handle it. Maybe I could do it for him. And then when he died, I would ask myself a lot too, like, why couldn't I have some of the burden? Maybe he could have handled it. Maybe he could have overcome this if I could just take it on for him. And he didn't come to me in dream, but I had this impression, and he basically told me that it was never my burden to bear, that it was his burden to bear, so that I could live on and fulfill the purpose that God wanted for me. That I didn't need to worry that I didn't have that burden either, because it was his burden to bear, not mine. And I don't know, I felt like that was such a, because a lot of times I'd blame myself, or I would say, what could I have done? Or maybe I could have talked to him more, or maybe, you know, you do a lot of what ifs in your brain, and oh, it's making me emotional now because you get in your head, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, all the things like, what if I could do this? Or what if this would have happened? Then it made me realize that I don't need to go through that what if cycle anymore. Because that's what brings on fear, guilt, and shame. And that's not what any of our people who died want. They don't want us to feel that. And so just know that your life is a celebration of theirs. And moving forward, I know that that's what he wants. And all of my family want, you know, because I'm like, if this, all this stuff, and I don't know what else to call grief, but I feel like it's lots of stuff. There's lots of words, right? But it's just a big pile of stuff, right?
There's yeah.
So much stuff. It's just stuff. And I actually did a podcast with a girl the other day, and she said something to me that really stuck out to me. She said, there's just all this stuff. She used to live in a barn. But she called it the S word. And she was like, I used to work on a barn and they used to have me, my dad used to have me take all this and stick it over there. And I used to ask my dad, why am I doing this? This is so crazy. I'm just shoveling it and then sticking over there. He says, all this stuff right here is no good to me. But if I put it over there, then it's good to me and it's fertilizer and it becomes something of value. And so all this stuff that we have with grief, like how can we just like pick it all up, right? And maybe we don't have to carry it like a burden on our back, but maybe like we carry it and we can place it places where it has that fertilizer. And I feel like that's kind of what I'm trying to do right now, especially with helping women through hardship, you know, through movement and health and getting people, you know, like I said, because your health goes first. And so how can we get people to feel good?
Yeah.
And so emotionally that they can heal.
That's beautiful.
That's my message.
Yeah. So I would, I love so many of the things that you said. In fact, I'm going to come back and rewatch this because there's so many good nuggets that I'm just like, oh, that's so good. One of them is just feeling like, and I totally can relate to this, is that, you know, with my daughter, I feel like, you know, she doesn't have a legacy of a physical life here on earth anymore. And so, and that need within me to continue to love and nurture her, I can't do that physically for her anymore. So what else can I do? And so living her life with her, you know, with her and next to me, and we're the only thing I can do as a mom, we want to provide joy for our kids. Like, how can I love and nurture them and provide a happy and joyful life? You know, same with like your brother, like you were going to live your lives together. That's what you'd always done. And so the only thing that you can do now is put a smile on their face, create some joy. And I love that what you said. And so that was really powerful and touching for me too. And you know, I had someone say to me,
Lisa, thank you.
So that was, you can, that's
Alexa,
it's live.
She talks to me even when I don't want her to talk to me. Alexa, I'm like, stop talking to me.
I'm not talking
She's
to
like,
you.
Not my house that I hate sometimes.
That's so funny.
Anyway, yes. I love that. And I don't know if I can talk about this. So I have a gift for you guys who are listening. I would love for you to tap into movement and motion with me. I offer a 30-day free trial to my health and movement studio. I go live 2 or 3 days a week, doing different types of movement. Sometimes I have themes that I work with. And basically I want to offer that to you guys. There's a full on-demand section. I also have like a whole section of nutrition, and I would love for to offer that to your survivors, because what better way to, I always say, we don't want to just survive. We want to thrive, right?
Yes.
And we want to vibe and thrive. And that's kind of what I teach, is I teach vibe, where it's all about emotional health and self-care and tapping into ourselves spiritually and emotionally. And then it's thrive with our physical body, nutrition, fitness, all of those things, body movement. And I would love to offer that to your people. And I don't know if you've seen this, but this is a passion project of mine, but I make a specific grief blend. It's an essential oil blend. It's on my website. I can give you guys the link. But basically, I created this over the past 3 years, and I actually just reformulated it. And it's such a beautiful blend. And I always was like, what is a tangible thing that I can look, feel, taste, touch right now? Because my emotions are so heightened. And if we use our senses, then we can come back to neutral and we can come back to center. And that's really why I created it. And I've actually sold out of it for like the last 2 times. And it's, I don't know, every time I make it and I figure out who it's going for, I just have so much gratitude in my heart to know that my brother's death and legacy is being able to bless somebody else's life. I would never have come up with that. I would never have come up with this movement studio. My movement studio is basically my In Loving Recovery studio in my house. I would never come up with that name. So many different things. And so I think of anything, like my brother and my family that have passed on, like they have to be honored in this too, and honored in what I'm doing, because they're like the why, right?
Yep.
I guess just like your daughter, like this is the whole why of survivors. And so I can give you guys the link. It's an amazing, and it comes with a little affirmation card, and they're all grief affirmations, that when you're having just a really hard day or a grief wave comes to hit you, that you just use it. There's a breathing pattern on there and you read the affirmations to help you. So
yeah. That's beautiful. Thank you. Yes, we're going to absolutely, we'll put those in a post on our social media so you guys can be able to access and get in touch with Carrie. She's amazing. I will also say that we all go through that. And anyway, I'm in a place where everything you're saying is touching my heart. And I'm like, yeah, I definitely need to get in touch with you and move. Because yeah, you're just going to funk sometimes. And it's that figuring out your emotional health. What is it that I need? How can I move past this? And all of those answers can be provided for us if we, like you said, ask the right questions when it's the right time. So thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you for sharing all that you've said. I just, so powerful. Everything just, I felt so touched. I feel like your brother's with you, and excited that he can be on this journey with you in a different way than he couldn't have been before. So
absolutely. I feel that too. So yeah, I love what you guys are doing here, and anything that I can do to help or support. And maybe if you guys have a retreat one day, I can come. And
absolutely. Yeah, we are. We've had one and we're going to do it again. And it's, Survivors continues to grow. And so we're excited about all the things that we can provide for people, especially this. But this is what Survivors is how can we honor our loved ones in serving others? And that's exactly what you're doing, is providing a much needed service for other
people. Not only that, I also feel like, after the funerals, after the cars, after the calls, after the texts, like, what's next? What's left? Mm-hmm. There is no support. The calls don't come in anymore. The text messages don't come in anymore. Like maybe once in a while you'll get like, oh, how are you doing? But those fade, you know?
They do.
And so that's what I feel like survivors can do too, is like really people belly to belly, soul to soul, to be like, hey, how are you actually really doing?
Yes.
And then this person like just cries, because they're like, wow, someone actually saw me. They saw in here. They didn't just see this, but they saw what was going on in here.
Yeah.
So I love what you're doing.
Thank you. And it's also, it's good that 3 years later for you, 2 years later for me, that, you know, recently I had a loved one just say, you know, I feel like you need to let people just heal and move on and get past this, because, you know, and that's okay. They didn't understand grief in the way that I do. And, but it just made me realize, like, I don't think many of us even want to move on. Like, there are just, there are, maybe I froze. In my hair?
Yeah, well, I don't like the word move on, because it's just weird. It's moving forward.
Yes.
There's a forwardness about grief. There's never moving on. And honestly, you never overcome grief. That's what I tell everyone. Like, you never overcome grief, but it's a transformation. The grief changes over time. And the grief actually doesn't get smaller. It gets bigger over time, because then there's all these things that they miss. But your capacity to grow changes. So, like, your jar gets bigger, your capacity to handle it becomes different. So it's a moving forward type of thing. And I know our people don't want us to move on from them, but it's like a moving forward one step. How can we move forward with this, you know, like I said, this stuff that we're carrying, you know, it no longer has to be on our back and we're hunched forward, but maybe it's like in front and it's like this armor now that we have on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There's a phrase that we talked about called integrated grief, you know, where at first we have this acute grief. It's really big. Complicated grief is kind of just figuring out like all this stuff, and it might take a while, but then there's kind of this comes to this integrated grief where you've learned how to move alongside it or with it, instead of having it block you from living your life the way that you want to. And I think that's kind of, And it's okay if it takes longer. And sometimes you go back, like, it's okay, whatever your grief is. And I think it's just knowing that there's somebody out there.
Two steps forward, two steps back. Like, that's why it's like a dancing game, you know, that's why we always have to put ourselves in motion. But I can tell you this right now, all the women that I work with, that I take on as clients, every single one of them, we can pinpoint it to an emotional hardship or a grief or a loss when their health issues started, or when the weight started coming on, or when they felt like they couldn't move anymore, or they stopped doing the things that they love. They stopped, you know. And so I feel like grief has taught me so much that physical and emotional health are cohesive together. They work in homeostasis, where before I was just like all about the physical. I'm like, I'm good emotionally kind of thing. Huh. And so I think that's so important, you know, especially as we're grieving, you know, we have to take care of ourselves. We have to take care of ourselves physically, because too, we don't know what else life like is going to throw at us. You know what I'm saying? Or transition, what transition is going to come up next. And I always teach this too, is that, you know, maybe you haven't had a loss, but loss is a part of life. Right? Like, it just is, you know? And so when loss comes and it finds you, or grief finds you, if you feel good physically, it's much more easier to cope with grief. Yeah. It just is.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like what I love teaching. And anyway, I could talk for hours and hours and hours if you let me, but I don't want to keep your table too long.
Maybe we'll turn this off and then we'll keep talking.
So thank you so much for having me.
Yes. Thank you, Carrie, so much. And, okay, there you are. Thanks for joining us, Carrie. And I just want to provide a challenge for everybody out there to do the November Survivors Challenge. That's just to find a little, somebody that could use something and make a little kindness kit for them, whether it's, you know, someone that's sick or someone that's grieving or somebody that's maybe doesn't have as much, that we can provide these kindness kits for them. And that's the whole point of Survivors, is when you start thinking about other people in memory of your loved one, there's such a healing balm that happens. And again, you're making that movement, right? It's part of the movement of service to go along with everything that you're saying. And that's who we are. That's and we're meant to thrive. We're meant to figure out not to survive, but thrive. And we can do that through so many modalities, and especially through service and honoring your loved ones. So thanks again, Carrie. Yeah. And we will put all your information, and thanks again for joining us.
I'm wearing my Jimi Hendrix shirt in honor of my brother. So
all of us. I love that.
So yes, thank you so much. And I will give you all of those links so you can share them with your community. And I'm just so honored to share my story with you guys and be connected with you guys. So hope to see you guys soon.
Okay. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. Sending you all the good vibes. The podcast can be found on most major podcasting platforms. Subscribe, follow me on social platforms, Facebook at highvibelifestyle.co, Instagram at _highvibemama, and visit my website, highvibemama.com, and download your free manifesto to launch you into living a high vibrational life. Leave a review, and we'll see you in the next episode. We'll be right back.